when you're in the fight and you're taking shots, you got to have people like Tom Reaver in your corner who can see the fight from a different perspective. And when you surround yourself with community and group of people, you start to take things differently, but you need people in your corner to support you and kind of drive you in that direction.
Hey, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast, where we're helping bring respect back to yourself, the trade you're in, the contracting industry as a whole. And I'm excited today to bring on an old buddy of mine, Scott Vail. Scott is a painting contractor down in Florida. He's also a motivational speaker who goes about speaking about his non-traditional route to achieving success and his degrees. He went back to college, all this other stuff. He speaks all over the place to universities and organizations and stuff like that. We get into some things about how he was able to set up his business to run without him so he could pursue his speaking career. We talked about how he had to redefine success, some of the biggest crap and fears that he's had to work through. And he gives some advice for any of you that are listening to this who have some other goals and things that you want to pursue, other interests that you want to pursue in your life, and how to do that in the framework, within the context, of growing your business. All right. So I'm excited to bring you my buddy, Scott Vail. Scott, welcome to the Contractor Fight. What's up, brother?
How are we doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm, as you said before we hit record here, this is a couple veterans shooting the shit day after Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
So for those who don't know, tell us what'd you do in the service?
I was in the Navy for just over 6 years and served about half of it in the electronic systems, working with ships' weapon systems, and then the other three in mastered arms or ship security force.
There you go. Good stuff, man. Coolest place you've ever been. Where was it?
Oh, without a doubt, Australia. And it, for me, it was just the hype built up and the people down there. The people were absolutely amazing, like big city feel, but just old school backwoods kind of hometown people.
That's good stuff. I've never been to Australia. In fact, it's funny. I know, I think next to the United States, Australia has more Contractor Fight listeners than any other country. So we might have to do an event down there or something. So if you're listening to this, you're in Australia and you want me to come down for an event, hit me up. And go to thecontractorfight.com and look us up. So, Scott, listen, man, you and I know each other. It had to be in since 2006-ish when we were both painting contractors. We had run into each other and met each other at some industry events and some things like that. So, you're a contractor at heart. You're also doing some speaking and stuff. Give us kind of the 30,000-foot view of who Scott is.
The 30,000-foot view. Well, here's the irony of it all, and this is I guess to help your listeners understand that, you know, we talk about that degree of separation. To be able to separate yourself from the competition is so much easier than they think, because I came into the paint game with absolutely zero experience. And when I say that, I don't mean that I had never owned a business. I mean that I had never painted a thing before in my life. And so coming into this, that just shows that you can learn the skill as long as you've got the other abilities, you know, people skills. And like you said, contract negotiation and the things that matter. But, you know, we built ourselves into a business after 18 years. We've kind of ebbed and flowed down here with the boom in the market. And, we grew really big and did that seven-figure, revenue mark and thought, wow, this is what it is. And then realized, honestly, at the top for us, in our market, the revenues were a little bit thinner, the margins were thinner. And so we kind of decided to bring it back down, and we found a sweet spot for us. We were 100% word of mouth and referral based. And then we just continue in the, for us, the repaint market. We've gotten 100%. We've been in repaints now almost 9 years, nothing else, no commercial, no construction for us. That's just what fit our model the best down here. And so that also allowed me to manage that as I stepped out and taking on speaking. I actually go out to colleges and universities, and ironically, because I was in the military, I'm what's considered a non-traditional student. I didn't make that transition from high school to college. I went into the military, then after the military came back, started school, then started the business, went back to school, and I am currently in school right now as we speak, finishing my last two semesters to get a master's degree with four kids.
With four kids, a wife, and a business. Two businesses.
Why not?
Two businesses. So
why not?
So talk to me about how long have you been going to school? Like how many years has this taken?
I've been going on and off to school. Honestly, my first degree, and here's something I want to share, is my first degree, which is just a four-year bachelor's, took me in total 13 years to get it. So that was, you know, starting, stopping, and obviously when I started my painting business, mm-hmm. I made the assumption that I would come back and finish my degree immediately. There was an eight-year gap there, getting the business up and running and taking care of things and doing so. We just got so carried away with the boom in construction at the time that it created that gap. Then I finally realized that I knew what the education for me added, the value, and so I went back to school to finish it because it was unfinished and it was out there, you know, left just hanging, if you will.
Hmm. So, God, you know, I got all these things written down, places I want to take this conversation here, and I'm picking and choosing here, what order we're going to go in. So talk to me about you've set up your business to basically run and allow you to go to school, allow you to go speak and build your speaking career and do this, all the other stuff. How, what would you say to somebody who's like, God, I can't imagine having a business that I could walk away from each day, you know, or have limited involvement in, and it kind of runs, and, you know, I'm serving some clients and stuff. What was the big shift for you to help you get to that point where you could kind of step away and trust it to your people?
Tom, for me, it was a little bit of it was almost to a point forced, what caused me to go back into the drawing board and rethink everything. And it was obviously with the, you know, the change in the market, you know, because we had gotten out of construction, we didn't feel that directly or immediately, but it did come through, you know, probably a year or so later, and we dropped off. I want to say, oh goodness, over the course of a couple of years, we dropped off close to 65% in revenues. And as we all know, revenues feeds our salaries as owners. And so we dropped off of that too. And at that point, I had the decision to make, you know, how do I want to, you know, do this? Do I want to come back in and go guns blazing back to the top of where we were, or did it allow me to redefine? And I saw an opening, if you will, to go back to school because I did have a little bit of extra time on my hands. And so I said, great, let me go back to school. And I started that while piecing the business back together, but we pieced it back together from a different, you know, aspect in a, not going to say a different market, but with a different focus, if you will. And we also learned how to, most difficult word for most contractors, we learned how to say no, not, you know, not yes to every single job that rolled through just because it had a, you know, what appeared to be a, you know, profitable price tag attached to it. But we, you know, we just said no to things that just didn't, I mean, we really niched it down and we said, you know, here's what we're going to serve. Here's the customer we're going to serve. This is what we'll do. And unless it fits in that, we're just going to continue to say no. And it seemed at first that may, you know, not work. But as time, you know, opened up and really started to show it worked out great for us. It just made us niche, and then our referrals just, you know, went through the roof, and it was so much easier to do because of the type of work we were focusing on. So for me, it's just that, you know, imagining, I think looking people to, you know, I was in the same spot, you know, growing it with a lot of employees and just kind of overhead and not understanding how, you know, we ever get away from it. Where is the separation and the freedom, if you will? And for me, I had to step back in order to kind of see all that, right? Like you said, the 30,000 foot view, it's hard to see the game when you're, or see the fight, if you will, when you're in it, right? Let's use the contractor fight. When you're in the fight and you're taking shots, you got to have people like, you know, Tom Reber in your corner who can see the fight from a different perspective as it unfolds. And when you see that, when you surround yourself with community and group of people, they can say, you know what, why don't you try this? Why don't you do this? You start to take things differently, but you can't, you know, it's not a one man show. You can be a single owner, but you need people in your corner to, you know, support you and kind of drive you in that direction.
What was the hardest aspect of finding those people for you? Like, I know you have a solid team now. What was the hardest position for you to fill? What does that look like?
Oh, definitely my crew leader, if you will, my lead guy has been with me the longest. Well, because initially as we made this, I thought we were solid. I had a gentleman of 9 years, and this is reality of life in this business, 9 years with me, just decide to quit. There was no notice. There was no heads up. I literally got a voicemail, and he said, hey, thank you for the opportunity. Your credit cards, the keys to the van, the keys to the shop, all the stuff will be in the shop. I've dropped that off, and thank you very much. And nine, so just boom, my top guy when I thought everything was in place. And so basically I had to go back, and I had a second in command. and it took me a while to groom him. In other words, I had to kind of jump back in, get my hands dirty again to put that back together. So it's just a matter of knowing that, you know, in this realm, you're gonna have to plan for the unexpected, right? That it's going to happen, and not just taking it and letting that defeat you, because stuff's going to happen. And when you get running, we're going to go have those jobs that are profitable and things that are going good. Then we're going to get hit with something. And we've got to understand that that's just part of it, be able to recoup. For me, it was also given that control, you know, because again, it's never going to be exactly how the owner wants it perfect. And if you're going to try to micromanage it day in and day out, you're never going to let go. And it's the ability to be able to step back and say, okay, you know what I mean? You know, at the end of it, I was trying to let the customers dictate, like, oh man, we're super happy. When they started coming back with the compliments, even though I look at it and go, wait a minute, they forgot that part. Mm-hmm. It might be a detail. But when the customer started saying, oh man, your guys were so great, your crew was just amazing. And, you know, I started, okay, this is working. You know what I mean? And so I started allowing them to dictate instead of me to dictate what it was.
So if you could go back in time and regroom your guy all over again, what jumps out at you that you might do over differently?
I think it's just the ability, right, to be able to get in and help people, like you said, because every paint company out there, I don't care if you line them all up, put 10 of them together, and you know, any contractors in any service industry, they're all going to have their nuances, they're going to do things differently. I think a lot of times is, yes, there's certain, you know, specifics that are like non-negotiables, if you will, mm-hmm. That say, hey, this is the way we're going to do this, you know, for whatever it may be, for safety reasons or for, you know, insurance purposes, to be safe. But when it comes down to getting the job done, if another guy says, well, you know, this is the way we do it, and the end product turns out, you know, as well, again, and you've got a happy customer, is give people some freedom, you know, give people the ability and the freedom to be able to make mistakes. But also to be able to maybe deliver on something that you didn't know could happen. Because I think if you go in there with a staunch set of rules, people tend to, you know, back down from it. And just kind of, you know, again, it changes the culture, you know, allowing people to come in and say, okay, great, I see you've got a skill set. You can do this and this, and here's how we'd like to, you know, see that happen. So for me, it was being backing off, I guess. And that's the hardest part for any business owner.
You know, it's funny, when I've spoken to groups and stuff, and I probably even shared about it here, letting go is the hardest thing to do. Yet, dude, when you look at the military and the things they entrusted a 19 or a 20-year-old, it's like that right now, somewhere in the world, there's a $300 million submarine being driven by like a 20-year-old.
Right. You know? Oh, absolutely. And, absolutely.
So, you know, so you got to have, you got, now you just can't go, here's the keys to the sub, right? You got to train their ass.
Correct.
But, so let me, let me see here. You have, I know you talk about fear a little bit, and when you speak to groups and things like that. And I'm curious what, dude, you've run a super successful business for a long time. You started a second business. You have a wife and four kids. There's a lot that, how do I word this? There's a lot that can go wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Things, right? There's a lot that can go wrong with all these things. So I'm just curious, like, what personal fears have you had to battle through as you've built both these businesses and things like that? Just share a little bit of that.
I would say, coming back in, you know, fear, the more things that you have, like you said, family, school, another business, it just increases your exposure, right? So you've got that risk exposure that's out there. And obviously, a lot of times, you know, fear is a natural substance of that. I think for me, again, going back to understanding, it's not the assumption that everything is going to go right. But understand, again, and not with some negative, the sky is falling attitude, but understand things are going to go differently than you have anticipated. That's going to happen. And I think once you get that down and understand, it's not about, I think contractors try to go out there and maintain this perfect balance, if you will. This symmetry that the world wants to tell us is there, meaning, oh, I can balance, you know, life, career, school, work, et cetera, et cetera. That's not true. Here's the trick, is you've got to almost remain off balance on purpose. You know, case in point is, you know, I know when I'm going in, let me be honest, let me be very transparent, is I've got a 7-year-old right now who cannot ride a bicycle. Now, as a father, that kind of kicks me in the gut, because he's got friends that are out riding a bicycle, and I have not been able to devote the time to him that is needed, because I've been doing, say, exams and things like that. And when I talk about like keeping your balance, if you watch somebody on a tightrope, they're never balanced 100%. Never. They're constantly adjusting their weight. They're making small adjustments, right? And so for me, the fear is there, but you have to keep moving forward, right? You can't just freeze up in the middle. You've got to continue to move forward. But again, like I said, in one moment, I'll be, you know, leaning my weight to one side to compensate for school, for exams, for a paper. But then I know that once that is done, once that moment passes, I've got to be able to shift my weight to the other direction and give back to my family, right, to maintain that. If I don't do that, then you're going to have this, you know, complete thing thrown into, you know, into overdrive, and that's where stuff starts to go wrong. And I think that's what everybody's fear is, stuff going wrong and that you can't control.
Well, I, for me personally, trying to have balance is more exhausting.
True.
You know, I'm, you know, like if you just picture yourself walking, you know, walking on a balance beam or whatever, like you're making these constant corrections. You're always like in this state of, stress to one degree or another, trying to keep your balance. And I understand the concept when people say, oh, I just want some balance. I totally get that. But for me, I feel like, I strive to be extreme in whatever I do. So if I'm working, I'm all in. If I'm working out, I'm all in. If I'm, you know, with one of my kids, I'm all in. And I don't always succeed, right? Because our minds are all over the place. But I'd rather be all in for 20 minutes on something than half-assing it for an hour, you know?
So I'm with you 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a little bit of room for margin if you're like you said, if you're giving extra, if you're going above and beyond. And that goes with your customers too. So get that. If you're given above and beyond, right? If everybody else is striving, let's face it that most people are barely above average, right? And if you're going in there delivering on a higher level, if something does fall off, your customer is going to be a little more apt to you know, provide grace and forgiveness for you because of where you operate normally. But when you're mediocre and you come in and you fall off, guess what? You find yourself, you know, seeing the exit door. That could be in a relationship, in your business, wherever it is.
Hey, just want to take a quick break here and let you know that we just redesigned the Contractor Fight website. Head to thecontractorfight.com, and we have so many cool resources there that are everything from free to our paid programs and all that other stuff. But you're going to find things to help you grow a stronger business and continue to fight the fight in greater ways. I also want to make sure that you do know that we recently opened up our new Contractor Sales Academy program called The Bridge. You can go to contractorsalesacademy.com/the-bridge and learn more about that. It is perfect for the guy who might be new in business, who's really struggling to close jobs at higher rates and things like that, wants to get some of his time back, but cannot afford at this time the full Contractor Sales Academy Mastermind program. All right, so we're super excited to release that here in November. And then finally, check out the Contractor Sales Academy podcast. My partners, Steve and Derek, and I, we have a weekly conversation about all things sales as it pertains to us contractors. So you can find that on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, all that other good stuff. And hope to see you there. Talk to you soon. So let me ask you this. You've had this goal of getting your degrees. Mm-hmm. You're a military dude, success there. You had a successful business going. You're making money. Why was this so important for you to see through? Like what's behind that? Because I know it's been a grind.
To be honest, and here's the first thing to let everybody know is the fact that it's not financially related, meaning the moment I have my you know, what I'm doing now is my master's degree, the moment I have that in my hand, I don't get a promotion and I don't necessarily immediately make more money. And so again, people look at it and go, well, then why are you doing it? For me, it's twofold. It's obviously personal development. I never, you know, I'm first generation college. So understand, when I got the bachelor's degree, did 4 years, that was more than anybody in my family had ever done. And so I've set the bar high for my kids, but for some reason I got encouraged. I had somebody around me that, you know, kind of spoke life into me and said, you know, you should really try to go after this degree and here's what it offers and here's what you can do. And I thought, wow, okay. So I just went after it, but never thinking that this would be something I could attain, because I'm not by any means academically gifted, hear that. But again, like you said, I compensate for that with my work ethic. And so people think they've got to be the most educated, most talented in an area that they're working in their trade that's not the truth. You can outwork somebody who's you know more talented than you are any day of the week. And that's what we forget. So for me, this was personal development and credibility in my lane, right? It makes people look at you funny when they're talking to you as a painting contractor and you tell them that you're finishing your master's degree. They have no idea what to do with that. But it just shows me that, you know, hey, I'm different than everybody else. There's a set apart with that. And then going into the speaking, it provides me credibility in my lane because I speak to colleges and universities. So right now I'm actually a student. And so when I speak to other students in schools, there's that connection because guess what? I know what they're going through. I know what it's like having a kid and sit up and try to read a book, you know, at midnight at night, falling asleep. So it just helps the relatability with it, you know, going in. But yeah, for me, I'm definitely not the most talented guy in the classroom. That is for sure.
I had so much, head trash around my smarts for many years.
Right.
Because I rode the short yellow bus. I rode the short bus literally for 2 years, 2 years in grade school, man. And it really messed with me. And that's another story from another time. But it wasn't until I decided to go toe to toe with it. I had been invited to this event to speak at it to be a part of this event and be in some breakouts and kind of take part in mentoring these guys. And it was a leadership event for college guys. And for 2 or 3 years, I turned down going to it because it was a college event. And I dropped out of college. I barely graduated high school. I always had this head trash that I thought I was stupid. I couldn't compete. And like the third or fourth year that I was invited to go, I finally said, man, I gotta run into the punch on this thing or I'm never going to get over this crap. And dude, I was like 40. Okay. So I've been really successful in a lot of things in my whole life. Certainly I'm not stupid, but I still had this baggage rolling around in my brain and in part of my DNA, it seemed, that made me feel like I wasn't capable of competing at a higher intellectual level and things like that. How about you? What baggage have you maybe carried through your life that you still have occasional issues with, or maybe you've put it to death or whatever? What does that look like?
I think for me, Tom, the biggest thing is just simply going in and not allowing, you know, a family, a generation, you know, whatever it is, if it was your parents, you know, a past marriage for many people, if the past mistakes or past occurrences in your life to dictate future successes, because you go into things. And again, like you said, my father graduated high school. My mother did not. So I only had one parent that did that. Both of my parents were hourly wage earners, had never started a business. In fact, when I told my father I was heading out to start a paint business after the military, he looked at me like I was crazy because I was in the grocery business that had 401k, that had profit sharing, that, you know, man, this is what you do. You stay there. What are you doing? And he couldn't see that. And so for me, it's the ability to be able to step out, because when we only do, and listen, we do a lot of what we do on a daily basis, Tom, you know, in our business, in our life, in our relationship, we do that based upon being comfortable, right? But if you only do what is comfortable, you deny yourself what is possible. You know what I mean? You don't give yourself that edge, because sometimes you're going to have to freaking step out, you know, and get into that unknown area. And for me, it was trying to push everything behind of saying, you know what, my family did this, but I decided, you know what, that was the environment that I grew up in. And here's the thing for most people. You grew up in a screwed up environment. You had alcoholism in your family. You had poverty in your family. You didn't have educational background. So what? Get the freak over it and create a new environment that you can win in. That's for me. Like, create a different environment. Like, I didn't, you know, a lot of the stuff I'm doing, it wasn't out there. So you go out and create it, right? My family dynamic now, we've created a whole different, you know, dynamic and tradition. Things you were never done in my family. But now we set the rules. You know
like
what I mean?
What?
So for people
like
to
what?
Change that. Oh, just the thing we do for Christmas, right? I mean, we go all out, you know, for Christmas, a huge holiday in my house, but just, you know, like, let's say family game night, right? Every single Friday night, cell phones go away, you know, and we go together as a family and play board games and do things together, you know, pull out popcorn and just have fun. But that's every Friday night. It's, you know, right now it's easier because they're little, but it's not like an attendance is optional thing. We do it every, and so the kids start looking forward to it. They're like, oh, it's family night. What are we doing? What are we going? And we just create a dynamic of something, you know, to have fun and look forward to it. Again, it's not something expensive. It doesn't go all the way out. It's not fancy. But we just created something because both my wife and I are from broken households, right? And we said, you know what? We're not going to repeat that. And so here's some steps we're going to take. And so we start to change the environment, create our own. And for me, I think so many people realize that, you know what, you can look around and, you know, that things are changing or a market's done different or whatever, but you can create a different niche. You can control the environment of your business and that your employees and you know, such work in. It's just a matter of, you know, what you want to do. And again, you may have to get uncomfortable to do so.
So as people can probably hear, it'll confirm what I'm about to say. If they've listened to you for the last few minutes here, you are one of the most positive guys I know. And you always have been. I mean, I've known you a long time, at least 10 years now. I know we've known each other a little more. And how have you been able to take control of the negativity, you know, when it starts to swell up in your head? Like, are there some things that you do, you practices, habits, things, mantras you have? Like, give us a little of that, because, dude, you're pretty... I'm not naive enough to know that you're never down, right? We all have a down day.
No, absolutely.
Okay, but
right.
I'm just curious.
That's human.
What do you recognize in yourself when you start seeing yourself go in that way? What do you do? What actions do you take? Because I know so many guys that listen to this are trying so hard to run a better business. They're trying so hard to break bad habits. They're trying so hard to make some money. And the negativity just keeps coming and the blows just keep coming.
Right. I think for me, Tom, and again, yeah, you're 100% on the money for that. I mean, I know at one point in my business, you know, when we were in new construction, we got, held some huge amount of money. I had to fire employees. We couldn't pay them. And I was literally in depression, you know, sitting around thinking, how am I going to do this? My business is falling apart. You know, so yes, I've been there to the extreme. But on the other end of it too, you know, I realize at the end of the day, I'm the one that, you know, I take ownership. And it sounds silly, right? It sounds silly. Take ownership of who I am, of where I'm at, my actions. I'm not one of those, you know, now in my life over time, like you, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. Right. So again, a lot of that comes with age. Thank goodness that we realize, like, you know, things getting upset or not, you know, things that end the world. But for me, what I could control and take ownership was, like, I had a really bad attitude, you know, and the reason I didn't have my college degree, was because I didn't go back and do it. Right. I could tell, oh, I was busy. I had this, I had that. The whole world's busy. Everybody's busy if you ask them. And it was a matter of just saying, taking ownership of, you know, my thing. What can I control? My routine. And so for me, my routine starts off probably earlier than most, but I'll get up. And so I know for a fact, I am always up at least an hour and a half or so or longer than my family in my house. So I get up in total darkness and I have my routine, you know, some of it a spiritual routine, and then just time again to focus and plan out my day, kind of look at the pieces. So in other words, here's the trick is, too many people allow the day to kind of control them. And I used to tell my wife, she used to get up, you know, or have the kids wake her up. And I said, when you did that, the kids dictated your day because they woke you up and now they're saying, I'm hungry. I need this. You're just walking around. A lot of us do that with our marriages, our customers, our employees, right? We allow them to dictate the flow of our day. And for me, getting up early, for me taking stock of it, again, maybe somebody does it the night before. It's a matter of what works best for your routine. But being able to kind of take control of, like, okay, I got this here, you know, again, and we know things go awry, but I take that time in the morning to get my mind right to, you know, either if it's just listening to music, praying for me, or just being quiet. A lot of times it's out on the bike, taking a run, just kind of, you know, that time to focus in and kind of just shake off, like you said, head trash, dirt, just get rid of the cobwebs and get clear. And then by the time my day rolls around, trust me, by the time my family wakes up, I'm a pot of coffee into the day. So I'm ready to rock. So it's just a matter of getting into it and understanding, yep, things are going to happen. Guess what? Stuff's going to happen. But trying to control as much as you can. I don't ever think that I got the day planned out. Here it is. And no, that's, like you said, unrealistic.
Well, it's a matter of, you know, let's just control what we can control. Right.
Oh, and absolutely.
How many times we choose not to, like you said, we're reactive to things and stuff like that. You know, it's funny. You talked about, you know, now and then you're in the dumps or whatever. I usually have, I would say on average right now, currently, it is the 12th of November, 2018, as we record this. I usually have 2 days a month where I'm really depressed. Like, I've just noticed that about myself. And they used to be 2 days in a row. And now I've gotten it to where they're split up like a couple weeks apart.
That's progress.
Yeah, it is progress. But I want people to know, like, and then I have days where I'm like borderline depressed, you know, and I'll have moments and things like that. And I would say for me, the two things that seem to help me the most, number one is I got to get out and move my body. Like when I'm, when I'm not exercising, it could just be, it could be a simple walk. It could be going to lift.
Thank you.
Whatever, absolutely. You know, you just got to move your body, man. Good things happen when you move your body. And the other thing is having a strong network of friends and positive influences and people that you can lean on and people that you can trust. And I see so many guys going at this business and life thing alone. You know, we're tough, right? We're putting everything on our shoulders and we're gutting through it. And I think the older I've gotten, I'm 49, the older I've gotten, the more I've seen how frickin' important it is for me to have other guys in my life that I
can quality over quantity. Absolutely.
Yeah. I can tell them anything and lean on them. And you know what, now and then they're a shoulder and now and then they're a boot in the ass, you know, but either way it's needed.
Oh brother, both are needed.
Yep.
My wife and I have a house rule that neither one of us are allowed to have. We can have a bad day. We just can't have a bad day on the same day. So in other words, if I come home and I'm ready to unload on my wife, like, oh, you don't know what just happened. I walk to the door and I see her, you know, the hair standing on end and whatever with the kids. I can immediately tell. Then I dial it back and say, you know what? Not my day. Not my time. Guess what? I'm okay. And I go into damage control mode, right? And I think we need, like you said, friends and people around us. Because chances are, really, you're not going to find that. You call up a friend, and maybe they're good. And like you said, sometimes it's a boot of like, nope, here's what you need to do. Lifting you up, encouraging you, right? Speaking some life into you. Other times, it's just listening, right? Just listening while you dump on them and just saying, man, don't worry. That happened to me. You know, we can relate. So the relationships are key, like you said. But just kind of have those guys, like you said, the ones that will listen to you and be authentic and transparent with you.
Cool. Well, listen, I got two more questions for you. The first one is... I often hear from guys in the trades, various different trades, that they have other plans, they have their goals, they have other things that they want to accomplish in their life. You know, like you, maybe they want to go and be a speaker, right? Maybe they want to start a second business. Maybe they, you know, what do you, and a lot of times that takes some serious, clarity and having, you know, a moment where you're like, hey, I kind of have to redefine myself here a little bit. And where I'm going in my life. So what advice do you give to that guy who's got other interests other than just building their contracting business?
I'd say, first of all, you know, obviously explore it. Don't be scared of it. There's nothing wrong with, like you said, but you know, for me, so, you know, there's a dangerous balance if I'm being honest, you know what I mean? So is understanding your revenue model and simply being like, for me with the painting company, I was the sole source of income with a wife and all those kids, right? So it's not like I can just switch it off and run out the door. Now I can sell, I can do these things, but again, I understand what that means to my, you know, to my business. So looking at it and saying, just again, everybody's life and financial picture and whatever it is, because again, if you've got just a husband and wife, empty nesters, you say, and their cost of living is extremely low, then you've got a lot more mobility, right? You know, able to, you know, flexibility, if you will, to move back and forth and do what you're doing. I'm just saying, make sure we know what it looks like. Don't be scared to look at other options, because again, if you're not wanting to put this in and grow it to the point of where it's going to manage it, you know, get you to the next level, you may just want something simple. Like you said, they can maintain and give you, you know, you want to go fishing, you want to do this and what your options are. But I think the financial picture for me is big, because I had to look at it with my wife and say, hey, you know, if we do this, here's what that's going to look like. And again, there had to be enough balance to where, again, we continued to do revenue while I stepped out the door and started to build revenue streams. So just knowing what that means to you, because it's different for all of us, right? If you don't have kids, it's different than, you know, someone else.
Imagine that. It comes down to the numbers and having a budget, having a money plan, right? I mean, that's...
Love it.
You know, it's so funny. Here's the other thing I've seen in myself. Like, the more I know, the more chicken shit I get sometimes.
Right.
You know, where guys will come to me and they're like, hey, I'm going to start this new division of my company and I'm going to do this. You know, some of the guys I coach or whatever, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And my first thought, because I've seen the money side of businesses go south so many times, is well, dude, we got to plan this out in your budget. You know, we got to make sure that, you know, you can actually pull this off. And, you know, in full disclosure, I think sometimes I've hindered their success because I've been too cautious, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, if you believe you can, you're probably going to do it. So, and I've certainly taken my fair share of shots and risks, and things have worked out. But I have no idea what my whole point there was, other than just an observation of myself going, the more I know, the more chicken I seem to get.
Self-assessment is key. Trust me. Being able, like you said, being able to, point it in on yourself and say something.
Well, the stakes are higher, right? You know, we got wives and kids and more shit to take care of. And so
it, trust me, everything is calculated. And for me, I definitely talk stuff out with my wife. You know what I mean? That's a big thing. Because again, here's what I found out when I did this. My wife knows nothing about painting, but she's a great sounding board because she doesn't know anything about painting. Because she has comes with it from a different perspective. When I say, well, I can't, I'm doing this and this guy, she's like, well, did you try this? Or did you say that? And initially I'm thinking, wait a minute. Like, no, I'm the one that's been doing it. And then I stop and go, wait a minute. That's okay. That's brilliant. And she just provides, such a different perspective. So, again, being able to keep yourself open to not knowing everything also is great.
Love it. So, all right. Last thing I got here for you today is, you got the audience of several, you got the ear of several thousand contractors right now. What do you want to tell them? What do you want to leave them with? What's something that you feel, they can walk away? Maybe that something that we haven't talked about or something you want to dig a little deeper into that we did talk about that is going to help them be a little stronger, more equipped to fight their battles.
For me, super simple. I mean, I keep it, like I said, not a deep guy. I wound up writing my book for the speaking business, right? The book has got a simple title. It's called It's Never Too Late to Graduate. Real simple, obviously based on the fact that it took me forever to graduate. And now, in my mid-40s, I'm in school again. And so I'm just, you're trying to think, that's just me taking my fears face on, and kind of going back to that. You could fill that in with anything, right? It's never too late to get married again. It's never too late to start another business. It's never too late to reinvent it, to, change up your niche. It's never, just understanding that mentality of, because, oh man, if I, like, I'm sure you do too, Tom, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, I would do that, but I waited too long. I'd go back to school, but it's just not, if I would have done it 10 years ago, there's all the time and all the technology. We have to understand, especially when we get older, we bring a lot more to the table that we forget, because somebody may be a little bit younger, a little quicker, if you will, but they don't have the life experience and the knowledge that comes with a life lived, right? When I'm sitting in the classroom and people have that, they don't have the, background of being a veteran or the background of having a family or the background of running a business, it makes a difference in the application, right? That real world knowledge of life is so much bigger. And for me, it's just, come on, take a chance, right? Life is very short. It's never too late to do what you really want to do, but make sure that, like I said, you're content with it. If that's running the business and growing it as big as possible, then, absolutely, by all means. But make sure, like you said, you're doing you and taking care of you along the way of what you want to do. Because for me, making a transition now, it was late in life and it looked like, that's the wrong time. Don't do that. You've got kids. Mm-hmm. But I know what I want, right? And I'm doing this on, again, calculated. It looks crazy, but it's calculated and we've talked it out and there's, steps to it. So for me, it's just, going in, it is never too late. I want to look back one day and say, I drained the tank. Right. I drained the tank. I left everything I had on the stage. I'm done. That's it. I didn't want to look back and go, should have taken that. Should have. I wish I would have.
That's good stuff, man. That is so good. It's home. So somebody wants to find you. Maybe they want you, they want to hire you to come in and talk to their company, or maybe we got somebody who's got ties to a university or a school somewhere and they want you to come in. How do they reach you? How do they get a hold of you?
Anything at Scott J. Vail, S-C-O-T-T, the letter J like James, and the last name Vail, V like Victor, A-I-L, scottjvail.com, and Scott J. Vail on anything else on social media.
Well, that's simple. I love it. Well, dude, I appreciate
you. I like simplicity.
I appreciate you carving out the time to make this happen here today, man, and appreciate your friendship and all that other stuff. Keep fighting the fight, and as always, let us know how we can help you with anything that you need help with building your business as well, man.
You as well, Tom Reber. Much appreciated.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon, man. Travis, bring in the guitars, and we'll see you guys next time on The Fight.